is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to the weekend news magazine, Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outloud here. My guess is it looks like we've arrived at the tipping point in our country, as you're seeing parents are pushing back against the Fed's overreach. And of course, the Feds are really tightening the screws with Attorney General Merrick Garland, antics there. And we'll dive into all of that today here. We have also a New York physical education teacher, which you're seeing a lot of this across the country, that are leaving the education system because of this forced vaccination mandates. Got to focus on education today with one of the big educational associations in the country that'll weigh in on some of this. And we'll end up with, what's the answer moving forward? So let's start off here. I want to bring on here J.D. Rucker joins me. And J.D. is a journalist. He's an activist fighting for Christian and conservative values. The NOC report, or some people call it the NOQ report as well, and that he's noted for that, and the Liberty Daily, and a host of sites here. J.D., welcome to Viewpoint This Sunday. Thank you, brother.
No, thanks for having me, Malcolm.
All right, let's start off with the FBI and this. What a lot of people are saying, the targeting of not just parents, but military heroes as well. We'll touch on a little bit of that here. So there was a kind of an urgent request this past week from the National School Boards Association, and it was to address the rising problem. Garland says that the FBI would work with U.S. attorneys in federal, state, local, territorial, and authorities and districts to develop strategies against these supposed threats. And the threats are parents that are pushing back against the whole system. Now, truth be told, we've kind of seen this building now for some time. And I was wondering when it was going to get to this moment. Garland is also, he's asking the Justice Department, the FBI, Homeland Security, Secret Service to help monitor these threat levels and assess the risk to students, educators, board members, and school buildings. I mean, this is really remarkable. And this is with President Joe Biden asking for the assistance now to investigate this. This is coming from the White House, clearly. And they're calling this a new form of domestic terrorism, J.D. So I guess first question I have, what do you think? Is domestic terror or terrorism here the new Me Too movement, I wonder?
That's a great, great way to word the question. Domestic terrorism is a boogeyman that can be used in pretty much any situation. And once the label is applied to you, it's kind of like being called a bigot or a racist. You know, you're called a domestic terrorist, or your group is called domestic terrorists, then all of a sudden there's going to be a certain amount of the population that is going to fear you, that is going to ostracize you in many ways. And that's what they're doing. They're going after anyone who's willing to stand up. You know, we've seen it across the nation and in multiple circles, not just with parents and groups that are fighting against critical race theory at school boards. We're seeing it, as you'd mentioned, with the military. We're seeing it with anyone, any patriot group, any group that is willing to stand up and protest the government. This isn't about critical race theory. This isn't about the FBI fearing that these parents are going to blow up schools or anything like that. This is about trying to stifle and suppress anyone, any American who is willing to speak out against the government, who is willing to protest in any way. And it's that part alone should terrify Americans. And when I say terrify, I'm not saying that we should be cowering in fear. What I'm saying is that the direction that this country is going under Joe Biden, but also under the deep state, which predated Biden, this country is heading in a direction where they just want people, Americans, patriots, to sit back, shut up, and do what they're told. And anyone who's not willing to comply is considered an enemy and will get labeled anything from bigot to domestic terrorist.
Okay. All right. Well said. Listen to a couple of these comments here, J.D. Senator Ted Cruz says, at his confirmation hearing, Merrick Garland promised not to follow the Obama model of weaponizing the DOJ to target and persecute his political opponents. And then Senator Josh Hawley says, I just asked the Biden DOJ to name one instance in American history where the FBI had been directed to go after parents attending school board meetings to express their views. He was quite outraged. Sound bites of Hawley were quite something, actually. He says Biden's latest offensive against parents is shocking, unprecedented, and wrong. And lastly, Tom Cotton, Senator Cotton, says record spike in murders and drug deaths, not a priority for Biden's DOJ. But when parents are concerned about CRT in schools or all these mask or vaccination pushes, Biden throws the weight of the federal government against them. It won't work. What about this tipping point I lay out there? What's your sense right now? I mean, we've been talking for years now. Like you hit it right on. It's more than just Joe Biden. It's an entire establishment. It's a system. So where's the pushback and where's that moment? How close are we getting to the edge, do you think?
We're right at the edge. And here's the thing, you know, you mentioned those three senators in particular. They are pushing back, but are they really pushing back? You know, I've become increasingly skeptical of Republicans. You know, I'm not a Democrat, but I'm almost more concerned about Republicans who can draw complacency. In other words, they've been saying for years, and it's funny because those three, and I'm keep in mind, I'm fans of Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and Senator Cotton. Okay. I really am. I think they are, at least at heart, they are among the good guys. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. All three of them have been saying for years now that they will go after Facebook and Twitter over censorship. They do speeches, they talk about how bad it is, and then nothing gets done. You know, here we are. They're going saying that the FBI is being weaponized. They're saying that this is an outrage. They're saying that this will not happen. I want to see something happen. I don't want to just hear about how outraged people are, especially if they're a politician. They have the power to do something, so do it. You know, if that means, you know, making threats, and I'm not talking about physical threats. I'm saying making threats within the Senate, making threats to both Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, saying that we will band together, we will fight in any way possible to make sure that this doesn't happen. Because until they do that, it's just rhetoric.
Where do we draw that line? I mean, we keep electing the same cast of characters to office. Clearly, nothing's being done. Why don't these senators take more of a stance? I mean, group together. I want to talk to you in a moment, even on the debt ceiling. I thought it was going to happen there with McConnell, but again, they caved in, as they consistently cave in, the right, the Republican establishment does, which is part and parcel, part of the problem. You know, again, that tipping point that I'm looking at here, how much is too much before we sink this thing, JD? Really?
We should have, well, first and foremost, let's start off with the premise. You'd asked how, you know, why don't they band together? First, there's just not enough of them, okay? There are simply not enough trustworthy, patriotic Americans. You could say, oh, but there's 50 Republicans. First, there's not. Okay, not in the Senate. They're not 50 true Republicans. Mitch McConnell too, but you've got Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins. You have people in the Senate who have an R next to their name, but who are anything but Republicans. Then you have the ones that are there that are trying to do a little bit, but they're all still becoming part of the establishment. If you were to actually, you know, put it to paper and try to find who is going to actually stand up for us, how many of those senators are going to put their name and their votes and their careers behind protecting Americans from the FBI, protecting Americans from the debt ceiling, the economic debacle that we're seeing coming from Washington, D.C.? That number is very small. Now, so we have to look at what is the solution? Do we wait till 2022, 2024, whenever? No. You know, that's going to take too long. We're not going to have a country if we're hoping that we're going to elect constitutional conservatives, enough of them into Capitol Hill, both the House and the Senate, to be able to make a difference. We're at war today, and that means that our best avenue, our best bet, is to focus on local. We need to be able to address the local issues. We need to know, you know, who's the best defense against a corrupt FBI. That would be your local sheriff. They can, you know, they can hold them accountable. That would be the people who you can go to as Americans, who we can go to have a recourse from a legal perspective. You know, whether that's attorneys general, district attorneys, anyone that we can get on our side. And we can't do that with D.C. They've literally walled themselves off from us. They don't want to have anything to do with it. So as much as I appreciate Cruz and Cotton and Hawley, I'm not going to contact them and ask them to do anything because I know they won't and they can't. But I will contact my local sheriff. I'll contact my state legislators. I'll contact my governor. I'll contact my mayors. These are the people that we need to have the closest possible relationship with as America transitions into this police state that's building around us.
Yeah, the police state, there it is. Let's talk about the military and how, again, the Justice Department is going after them. Now, we've all seen the story with Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, who's been charged with the 6 crimes and speaking out against the Afghanistan debacle. But he's not the only one being targeted. There's a series of these patriots, military heroes, and a lot of it comes back to the January 6th, JB, the Capitol event there. One in particular I want to touch on with you, which we've been following very closely at America Out Loud, is Sergeant Jeremy Brown. He's a decorated Green Beret hero. He trained in counterintelligence and insurgency. He was just arrested this past about a week and a half ago here by the FBI. 20 agents swarmed his home. Now, he's a 2-time Bronze Star recipient, and now he's experiencing really the wrath of not cooperating with this this agency. And I'll tell you why that is. So back in December 2020, so this is well before the January 6th event, he was actually contacted and enlisted. He's got videos of this, actually, from his home, that he was contacted by FBI agents that wanted to turn him against fellow patriots. So now he's locked up. They're putting all kinds of charges against this guy. And this goes along what you said just moments ago, where they're trying to silence people. And this is another case of this right now.
It is. And there's a humongous challenge that we're facing, Malcolm, as Americans today, especially if we are active patriots trying to fight for our country, defend our constitution, and keep our families safe.
Amen.
You know, the situation that we're facing against the deep state is one that works from both angles. It's a double-edged sword. Okay. So we have, on one hand, we have to be able to stand up and stand up for our rights. On the other hand, if we do so, we're putting ourselves at risk. And this is what the deep state, the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service, they know this. They know that if they can sow discontent and distrust among us, that we will start to implode. You know, so here's the question. You have an event that's coming up, for example, a live event where we're supposed to go and we're supposed to protest. We know the FBI is going to go there. You know, on one hand, you have the people that are saying, oh, you know, let's outsmart them and then not show up. But who really outsmarted who? Was the FBI's goal just to infiltrate these large events and arrest people? No, they have multiple goals. People say, oh, look at that event that happened last month in DC, you know, for the January 6th prisoners. That rally was a debacle that very few people showed up. There was more press and FBI than anything else. And people are like, oh, you know, we foiled the FBI's plans. No, we didn't. They didn't care. Either way, they won. If tens of thousands of people showed up and they were able to start a riot or cause insurrection or collect their data or figure out who was there and start arresting people or do whatever, then they win. If nobody shows up, then they win. Because now you've got Americans that are like, oh, wow, we outsmarted them by not going to an event to support January 6th prisoners. And it was a debacle. Only a few hundred people showed up. That's not a victory, folks. So what do we do? How do we handle this situation, such as with Brown, with Scheller? You know, are they... You know, are they, how can we support them without exposing ourselves? And that's a question that we have to answer. I frankly don't have the answer, Malcolm. I really don't. I've been trying to think about this for weeks.
Yeah. Well, the fact that he wouldn't be an informant, Brown, he came right out and said, based on his background of counterinsurgency and everything he knew, he is totally convinced that the Capitol event was rigged. He started to speak out. Well, that's why I want to ask you your opinion straight out. But he started to speak out about that, JD. And then he's got all the FBI at his home. So it's clear to me, at least, or it seems to be, that they're intimidating people and trying to shut down the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's right. And here's the thing. The smartest thing he did was to record everything. You know, if he didn't record anything, then we would never hear about him again. Okay. He would be dropped into some solitary confinement, wouldn't be allowed to shave, be given 4 pieces of bread and some gravy, and wouldn't be allowed to talk to his lawyer, and definitely wouldn't have his story out there. The fact that he was able to record all of this, he has evidence and proof. He actually has a chance to be able to work. And that's great. That's wonderful news. Okay. This is what we have to follow. You know, are they infiltrating these groups? Absolutely. Have they been infiltrating these groups for decades? Absolutely. If you look at the FBI's history, The FBI was built on the premise of let's have a federal law enforcement agency that is essentially above the local law, an agency that can you know, go in. One of the big pushes made by J. Edgar Hoover is that, hey, we can send our agents in. You try to get a local cop into the Chicago mob, you're not going to get anywhere. So we're going to send our guys in, and they're going to start working at the refineries or whatever, the alcohol stuff and the gambling and all that stuff. We're going to get our people in, and they're not going to know because we're not locals. And we're seeing that happen. They're not just trying to infiltrate with actual FBI agents. They're trying to take, you know, patriots and get them in with the Oath Keepers, with the Proud Boys, with any group that's going to go against the government in any way. I would not be surprised if some of these school board groups, these groups that are going to school board meetings and protesting, I would not be surprised if they're infiltrated. But then we have the other side that we have to be careful about. We can't be sitting here pointing fingers and getting all paranoid and saying, oh my gosh, you know, there's FBI everywhere, or who's an informant? That guy looked at me funny. Is he an informant, or is he a good guy? Is he an ally, or is he an enemy? We can't let that paranoia get to us either. So it comes down to discernment. We have to be careful, but we also have to be aggressive.
I want to talk to you a moment about the debt ceiling. So, all right, the Senate, totally reversed their position, McConnell does, and they vote to temporarily raise the debt limit, the nation's debt limit, avoiding this default. The bill was approved 50-48, okay, with all the partisan rhetoric and everything that's been going on. So you got to get to the House, you got to get approved, Biden sign it, et cetera. Now, McConnell comes out and he says, well, that's it. He draws another red line. And to me, this is after the first red line, when he said that he wasn't going to do it, wasn't going to budge. Now he says he won't do it again. This is a one-time deal to work with Democrats. What is it with McConnell? Does he just get spooked with the whole thing? And he always seems to cave at the last minute. Their spending is out of sight. What's your take on it?
It's actually a very complex question, especially when we're dealing with McConnell, because he is a relatively complex guy when it comes to how he operates. He takes three things into consideration the most when he makes decisions. You asked if he caved. Technically, it wasn't even a cave. It was just this was a matter of timing. He was always going to cave. So don't listen to what McConnell says. Listen, watch his actions. This caving was always planned out, and it's always been a matter of timing. When do the optics? Optics are the first and foremost protocol for McConnell. When do the optics match for him to be able to come swoop in and be the hero versus being a separate villain, you know? And that's, you know, McConnell's become a master at that over the years. Then there's the corporate interest. And I'm not talking about, oh, you know, it's corporate America's bad. I'm saying the corporate interests that are actually behind McConnell's drive. Yeah. You know, today we're talking about is, are they going to get the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill? Are they going to drop the $3.5 spending bill? How far down is it going to go? Folks, $1 trillion is a lot of money. Okay. It is an inconceivable amount of money. Okay. Yeah. It really is. Most people could not even grasp what that amount means. Yeah. And so, you know, people say, hey, are we going to land at a more reasonable 1.8 million spending bill and 1.2 billion, I'm sorry, trillion, 1.8 trillion spending bill and 1.2 trillion infrastructure bill? That's still $3 trillion. That still far exceeds anything that we could possibly afford. Okay.
You know, listen, it's funny how you were just, I love what you, because you were tripping up on the beans and trillions. And here's what's ironic about that. Here's what's ironic. It doesn't even roll off the tongue easy anymore, is my point, because we're no longer talking billions or millions anymore. We are in trillions, and it'll soon be gazillions.
Malcolm, keep in mind, keep something in mind. Let's not forget that just 3 years ago, the Democrats and mainstream media and everybody was balking at the concept of securing our borders for somewhere between $6 and $20 billion. To build the wall. They're saying, oh my gosh, that is an astronomical amount. Yeah. And now they've multiplied that hundredfold. No, folks, we're talking about craziness that is engulfing this nation from an economic perspective.
All right. Let's be clear. I mean, Biden's polls are in the toilet, and people are running, what happened? What happened? And I say, what do you think happened? I mean, what I want to know is who's the 30 some odd percent that are actually supporting his policies. These people need to be ejected from the program or the conversation. I mean, he's not having any victories or wins on any front. I mean, whether it's foreign policy, whether it's, you know, immigration of the country, whether it's the economy, money, energy, whatever it is, all of this is just falling down. I mean, he's not making, nobody supports these things. So you wonder, on reverse side of those polls, JD, I wonder who the 30 some odd percent, and I'm speaking about the, which has got a lot of attention here the last many days, the Quinnipiac poll there found 38% of those surveyed approve. I'm just curious who the hell the 38% are. These got to be the whacker jobs, no?
They are. Well, and they're the ignorant. You know, it's just like the whole thing where you take our, they do those secret videos or hidden, or not yeah. secret, but those videos where they go to college campuses where the educated or getting educated of America are supposed to be. And invariably, you know, you show them, hey, here's what's happening at the border. And they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And you show them, hey, here's what's happening with the economy. And they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. People just don't know. Okay. They're focused on anything other than understanding what's happening with our economy, with the border, with COVID-19, with everything. They don't know and they don't care. They don't want to know. They're sticking their head in the sand. And there's 38% of America who's saying, yeah, Joe Biden's good because, you know, hey, he's not putting out mean tweets. So he must be great, you know,
yeah,
got to
yeah.
be great.
Well, they don't know. And they're not being told either is the key, JD, because if it wasn't for folks like you and I who are pushing the truth out there across America, they would be watching and listening. And many of them are, in fact, to the NBC, CBS, CNMS and all of this, you know, this far left lunacy that is being promoted. So they don't really have a sense. And as you say, then they go back to their lives and have to make decisions. Then they're dealing with COVID stuff and all of that. You know, I wonder right now, a final thought for you here, that poll we're just talking about from the Quinnipiac there, you know, interesting, they say 38. I'm curious, you know, how low do you think that goes at this point? Because I don't see a policy on the horizon that is going to excite at least people I know out there across America. I mean, I wonder how long, I mean, we could be looking at I'm just saying it could be really historical. That could even drop lower, you think?
There's always going, because of the ignorant out there, there's always going to be a bottom. And I think we're about as close as it can get.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there would have to be video evidence of him, you know, well.
Oh, hold on. Evidence. Video evidence of him what? Having a fake White House setup? Is that what you mean?
But the funny part is you go and ask your normies out there, ask anybody, you pick somebody on the street, ask 100 of them. Hey, did you know that? Are you familiar with the studio across the street from the White House?
Yeah.
Out of 100 people, 98% will be like, huh, what are you talking about? You know, that's why there's a 38% of people who supposedly support him. You know, will it go lower? Could, I don't care, you know, because our focus on popularity, we have to reverse it and we have to focus on going after the issues. We have to do everything that you're doing. That's why I love your show so much, because you actually will go after, you know, you'll talk about the things that other people simply won't. And we need more and more and more of that. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Oh, thank you, JD. Amen to that, brother. I appreciate all the work you're doing out there. You really are just terrific here. The Liberty Daily is one of the sites that JD is out there with, and also the NOK report, N-O-Q report, tremendous. And you have a lot of other stuff you got your hands on. You know, this is what it takes. This is what it takes. And we've got to empower patriots. We've got to empower Americans to stand up. So, JD, thank you for everything you do, brother. I am a fan.
Right back at you, brother. Back at you.
Absolutely. So, all right, as we pause here, friends, here up next here, I've got a gentleman from New York City, a physical education teacher who threw their thumbs up at the whole system being pushed. I mean, this is a veteran career, a 20-year, well-liked, well-known, great reputation, and being forced to get the vaccine. And he says, no way, no how. And he's gone public with his story. Quite fascinating. And we've got here, you know, one of the states that has really pushed back is the state of Florida with Governor DeSantis, which many are saying could be a real force in 2024. There's an education alliance in the state that is having major repercussions in the work that they're doing for the education system against CRT and against a lot of these mandates and what have you. I want to take all that up next here as we continue to look at the tipping point. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
I'm excited to talk about a new product from HealthyCell, AC11. This is a patented bioactive extract of Uncaria tomentosa from the Amazon rainforest. It supports cell DNA repair and health span. It's a dietary supplement. I'm excited to try it. Many are interested in longevity and attenuation of senescence. We know that telomere length and other biologic measures are related to senescence in clinical and preclinical studies, particularly of animal models. And I can tell you as a doctor, dietary supplements do hold the promise of attenuating repair and damage in our body due to stress, physical wear and tear, sunlight, etc. And there's a tremendous opportunity for supplements to help us in this area. And so Healthy Cell has brought a product to market for you to try as part of your health portfolio. So please go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, list out loud for 20% off your first purchase of products from Healthy Cell. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report.
Welcome back to Viewpoint this Sunday. And you know, we're talking about the tipping point today and where exactly that is. And you'll meet a couple of folks coming up here next that understand right where that tipping point is. And first, I want you to meet a teacher, physical education teacher out of the Bronx there, and happy and excited to have on here, Tom Wehrman joins us. Now, Tom has been a teacher, this is his life, his career, 20 years that he's been doing this and impacting the lives of kids everywhere. And so a lot of this plays to, again, the pressure that's being put on our teachers, our educators. And this comes back to this forced vaccination mandate. This is another piece of the story we're talking about today. Tom, welcome to Viewpoint this Sunday.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So let's bring it back to what happened, because it was a very powerful Facebook message as well. I was sent from a couple of different people that you put out there. Tell us, where did this, you know, everybody knows the vaccines are being mandated. What was the tipping point for you and what did you do? You pushed back and said, no, you're not going to do it, huh?
Yeah. You know, originally they were telling us that we had a testing option. And then on August 23rd, the FDA said they approved a vaccine, which I'm not sure if everybody's aware. That vaccine they approved is not available anywhere in this country. But they told everybody that it's an approved vaccine from Pfizer. And on that same day, the New York City Department of Education said, we now mandate that every one of our teachers and employees have to get the vaccine. And this did not sit well with me at all. I'm an American first. Okay, I'm an American first and I believe in freedom. I also did not think the science matched up with what they were asking us to do. I mean, think about what a mandate is. A mandate is something that says, you do this or this happens to you. I've read that many people believe, well, we were given a choice. Well, if a gun is put to your head and you are given a choice, either take the bullet or take this other horrible option, you know, what are you going to do? That's not a choice. And that's essentially what they said to me. They said, either you take this vaccine or we're taking your livelihood away. And I couldn't believe that was happening.
Couple thoughts here. Have you had COVID yet, or yes or no?
Yes, I did. I had COVID. Okay. But you know what? Even prior to having COVID, right, my wife and I made the decision that we were not going to take the vaccine, right, considering we knew which population of people it was affecting the most. It was affecting the elderly. It was affecting the morbidly obese and people with other comorbidities. So we said to ourselves, you know what? We don't feel that we are in danger, even if we contract COVID. So we said, you know what? This vaccine is being developed way too fast. We know that vaccines take approximately, you know, 5 to 15 years to be fully tested. Yeah. Yeah. And we said, you know what? We don't think it's worth it. We don't know the long-term consequences of what this vaccine may pose. So if we get the virus, we feel comfortable in that we would...
You'd have a better shot. And a lot of people would say, a lot of doctors would say that too, Tom. You probably have a better shot with that than with COVID and fighting that than maybe what might happen with the vaccine.
You know, though? It seems like that doctors are not saying that enough, though.
Yeah.
I don't know the reason why they're not saying it. I do have some ideas, but I'd rather not speculate because that's maybe not the right thing to do. But, you know, a lot of doctors are okay with it, but a lot of nurses who are in the hospitals or in the front lines are seeing something else and they're making the opposite decision.
you and your wife made the decision prior to even having COVID. Now, your wife had COVID as well, do I?
Our entire family did. My wife and my two children, we all.
And that's what happens. And I had it as well, and my wife had it. And if you get it in your, it typically is going to, everyone in the family normally is going to get it. Because
and that's really the main place where it's being transmitted. Right. It's really not being proven to be transmitted, you know, too many other places other than home. And it makes sense.
Once you've had COVID, as you have had COVID, you and your wife, your immunity, the antibodies, and this is studied. There are a lot of studies on this right now. That's right. In fact, we have them on our network on America Out Loud, and that you're in better shape and a better position right now, you and your wife, than people who have had the vaccine.
And that's exactly what my wife and I said. Once we had COVID and we knew we had the antibodies, and I've been tested 2 times subsequently after we had COVID. I had COVID in January, and I got tested a few months after that, and I got tested 2 months ago. So I know at least up until 2 months ago, I had a lot of antibodies, and I believe I still have them now. Now, my wife is a physician assistant, and she has patients who've had antibodies for 16 months. People have been emailing me, telling me they've had the antibodies for 18 months.
Yeah.
So I think the durability of the antibodies is pretty clear. It's pretty strong. And that's not what the durability of the vaccines are.
Yeah. Listen, there's a post I want to point out to listeners here and to you and to your family, Tom, as well. And it's on America Out Loud. If you go under shows and go under the McCullough Report, Dr. Peter McCullough, as you probably know, Tom, I would imagine. And there are some very interesting studies in here. And again, it's on the McCullough Report page. It's risk of vaccines for those recovered from COVID-19. And there are 3 studies there, Tom, Kramer, Raw, and Mathutakis. And those studies prove exactly. And you know what? When you said, well, I think I still have, you absolutely, if you had COVID, you've definitely got the antibodies in your system. They're long lasting and durable, and you're in better. So then let's get back to the point of, so here you are, you're a teacher, you're a physical education teacher. You've been at this a long time. You're not even given the decision to opt out based on the fact you've had COVID, because the federal government and the these agencies of the government are not even giving you a voice, anybody like you who's had COVID, or like myself for that matter. That's wrong on its face. The fact that you can't make a decision for what's right for you and your family, because as you said, Tom, it's being mandated, is also wrong. So let's get to the big moment here of this thing. Then you are then put in a position where you have to make a decision. Now, this is a very difficult thing. You're a guy that's got a great career. You've been there a long time. I'm assuming you probably enjoy like hell what you do. Now you're put in a bad position. So what do you do? Tell us, please, the torment that you were dealt with in making that decision.
I'll tell you what, it was hard, you know, amazing benefits, you know, good salary. Teachers in New York get paid pretty well. And I'm sitting in my backyard one day and I've got tears in my eyes trying to figure out what I want to do. Now, I'll be honest. My wife, she always said, I don't want you to do it. You know, she was really strong about this. But, you know, as a man, as a provider, you know, it's not that easy of a decision to make. And I sat there, I thought to myself, I'm like, all right, I'll just get the shot. You know, I don't want to put us in a bad financial spot. And I pictured myself sitting in a doctor's office, getting a needle put in my arm. And I got sick to my stomach thinking that I just gave up my freedoms for this.
So this went through your mind, as I said moments ago, what people have been, this went through your mind, yeah?
It absolutely went through my mind.
Wow.
It went through my mind, and I was struggling. And then, you know, I spoke to my my brother-in-law, who's also my pastor, and I spoke to my best friend. They both didn't tell me what to do, but they just told me to trust God. So I sat there in my backyard, and I said, God, you know what? I'm really struggling here. But you know what? I'm going to put my full trust in you. That's what I told the Lord. And immediately I knew what the answer was. And I'm telling you immediately, I knew I wasn't going to take the shot. And I had tremendous peace come over me like I cannot explain.
Wow.
That's true. That's exactly what happened. And I knew at that moment I was not going to take the shot.
All right. Let me say now, you put in your post, you said de Blasio, which historically would go down as one of the worst mayors of New York, from Absolutely. What we see here. De Blasio empties the New York jails, citing COVID concerns, you say here.
That
is literally attempting to starve healthy teachers and staff who just want to do their jobs.
That's right.
So many people have been sitting around collecting government checks for the past year, yet teachers willing to work are being shown the door. This is evil. Then you say, am I angry? You bet I am. This is a direct assault on my freedoms. I say our because yours is next. Your Facebook post was very, very revealing. And you ended it talking about, am I scared? Absolutely not. And you say, I serve a mighty God, and his name is Jesus. My 100%. Trust is fully in him, as you just described. So you came, yours is really an incredible story to me, Tom, because you had to get peace within yourself. You were struggling, as I understand it, in the yard. I mean, I can visualize you there emotional at the moment of what the position you're being put in with your family and your life and your career. And then you went with your heart and your gut. What does the future hold now for you? Is education done for you in the future, or what happens?
In my heart, I actually believe it is, you know. And what I didn't actually mention in the post, I'm also an adjunct professor at a college in Westchester, New York. And I also lost that job for the same reason. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I can't believe I'm actually saying this out loud in front of everybody here, because I've been keeping this quiet just to my family. The Lord has actually been tugging on my heart to possibly get into politics as a result of this. Wow. Because as a freedom-loving person, I love this country. I love what it was based on. I look at what the founding fathers did, what they gave up, what they sacrificed, and how they put themselves in harm's way. And for me to just give up my job in the name of freedom, I don't think that's such a big deal, especially as a believer in Christ, where I know he's ultimately controls my future. You know, the founding fathers, they did not say, you know, the Constitution doesn't give us our freedom. The founding fathers recognized that our freedom came from God. And that's where I know my freedom comes from. They just recognized it in the Constitution. And that means so much to me. You know, I live in an area of the country where Washington's spy ring was heavily at play right where I live. And they sacrificed a tremendous amount also, which allowed Washington's army to defeat the British in the Battle of Brooklyn, which eventually led to the revolution happening in fulfillment in this country. You know, we have allowed our country, our freedoms, to be taken away incrementally, a little bit at a time over the past, you know, 5 or 6 decades. Now, through this pandemic, the powers that be are now taking massive chunks out of our, taking massive chunks of our freedom away. And if we do not step up now, if we don't put our foot in the sand and say, no, no more, you're not taking this away, we will absolutely lose our country. We have to fight back.
Mm. Yeah, and that's a lot of people feel what you're saying. You know, the driving force of this episode today, a viewpoint, is the tipping point. And Tom, sounds to me like you believe we're at that tipping point.
I do believe that.
Tom, yeah. I love your story, your passion. It's interesting, too. I love what you shared with us a moment ago. And I'm feeling this from really great people, patriots, our military heroes, many others who are now getting into the political arena because they really understand that's where the battle has got to be. Right? And so big thank you there to Tom Wehrman. And it won't be the last time we talk to him, my friends. I am sure of that. But he is certainly a patriot for standing up for his rights and pushing back against that regime. I'd like you to meet up next here, gentlemen, a managing director of one of the most interesting education organizations in our country that is pushing back against a far left program. I'd like you to meet here Keith Flood, managing director of Florida Citizens Alliance. He's an advocate for K-12 education reform in Florida. He's an Army veteran. He considers himself a constitutionalist. That's always a good thing, right? And I love this, what he says here. He's fed up with our political system that's been hijacked by both monopoly parties and the federal government. And boy, you could hardly say it any better than that. I want to start with this this request last week from the National School Board Association. And in a letter, Attorney General Merrick Garland said there has been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff who participate in the vital work of running our nation's public schools. And to address the problem, Garland said the FBI, nonetheless, would work with U.S. attorneys and federal, state, local authorities throughout the country in these districts to develop strategies against the threats. Now, many people took this as an assault with our parents and our education system. So let's speak about that right now, because he's got the entire Justice Department apparatus kind of going after these school boards and the teachers and all of that. What are you saying, Keith?
I'm a very strong believer that the federal government is way outside its bounds on the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. They're actually weaponizing the federal government against parents and grandparents and those of us who go to school board meetings to object to not only the various aspects of the mask mandate and the vaccine. I prefer to call it a jab, so excuse me. But also to shut down any debate on critical race theory. So it's the federal government weaponizing its unconstitutional authority, in my opinion. When you go back and look at our founding, our founders were absolutely adamant that our Bill of Rights had to have a Ninth and Tenth Amendment. And the Ninth Amendment, of course, gives all assigns all of the rights to the people coming from our Creator. But the Tenth Amendment reserves all of the powers not delegated to the federal government in the original Constitution to the states and the people. Mm-hmm. So what, my view is what we really need to be doing is exercising that Tenth Amendment authority. Governors need to be standing up and just telling the federal government, you're not welcome in my state to overreach and abuse parents and grandparents who are simply objecting to abuse of our children. And I think that then brings into the mix the sheriffs who are, you know, constitutionally elected. They have a duty to stand up and interpose and not allow the federal government to come into the state and abuse parents.
That's an amendment that I think a lot of states don't seem to be empowering themselves with what they can and can't do. You know, one of the things I always try to remind people of, Keith, it's the states that created the federal government, not the other way around. It's the states that's an important point that's lost across America, actually. Now, it's an important point here. And one of the things to mention in your particular state, Governor Ron DeSantis, who's been very outspoken, he declared his intention to defend all of this against Garland's what he calls intimidation. And I quote his message out there is Attorney General Garland is weaponizing the DOJ by using the FBI to pursue concerned parents and silence them through intimidation, he wrote. Florida will defend the free speech rights of its citizens and will not allow federal agents to squelch dissent. Now, what I want to know, Keith, from you is, so DeSantis is doing what you said, as I believe, he's pushing back against the feds by using that 10th Amendment. The question is now, what happens when people within the state now, even though DeSantis says this, and they overreach and do this, what means does he have available to him to squelch that and stop it?
Well, there's actually two approaches. I believe that under the 10th Amendment, the governor, has the authority to just tell the federal government to, pardon the expression, pound sand and stay out of our state. However, there's a second aspect of this that's actually been upheld by the Supreme Court. If you go back to the Prince bill, the Brady bill, back in the late 90s,
right?
The Prince, it was Prince versus U.S. Sheriff Mack was part of that, and the opinion, you know, by the Supreme, by Scalia, who was the majority opinion, was that the federal government could come into the states, but they could not use any state resources. And so one of the tools the governor has and the sheriffs have, I believe, under existing Supreme Court law, well, I don't think that's always has to be the absolute. In this case, it clearly says that if any state agency or state employee aids and abets federal government in this overreach, they can be fired. So what we need to do is have the governor at minimum exercise that authority. I believe he can actually arrest federal agents coming into the state. For some people, that's a bridge too far.
You know, I've been referencing on the program today, Keith, quite a bit about this tipping point we're at in our country. We're seeing it dead center on the education system. I mean, this is epic what's happening right now in our nation and the fight that's happening. But you're now starting to see parents push back, and you're seeing it in a lot of districts, a lot of areas across the country. They're pushing back on the feds, and they're pushing back on all of it, on masks, on vaccines, on CRT. Now, Senator Josh Hawley, he come out, he put a message out there. He said, now Joe Biden is deploying the FBI against parents who have concerns about critical race theory being taught to their children. This is a remarkable and dangerous abuse of power. Take a moment and speak to folks to educate them. I know you've done a lot of work on CRT in your association, which focuses on education.
Critical race theory begins in kindergarten, and it teaches kids to view everything in life through the prism of race. Absolutely unacceptable. We've been fighting it here in Florida. We've actually been trying to get the Department of Education to stop buying textbooks for English language arts that are full of critical race theory. The teacher's guides, we've documented all of that. So what we're doing is the governor and the Department of Education here in Florida, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but the governor said they're going to play whack-a-mole with anybody who teaches the tenets of critical race theory. And the State Board of Education put a rule in place that gives the Commissioner of Education the authority to play whack-a-mole. So what we're doing in the short term is encouraging parents to be paying really close attention to what's going on in their schools and feed us those examples. Commissioner Corcoran has basically told us point blank, give me the proof, give me the examples. And he's willing to play whack-a-mole. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're speaking with Keith Flaw. And Keith, you know, again, this is a model organization, Florida Citizens Alliance, focused on education. And, you know, a lot of states could take some lessons from the work that he is doing there as managing director of this organization. I encourage you to check out more there here. This is not the last you heard of this and what's happening with the intimidation coming from the Department of Justice here. So the question we're left with now is, and that I pose to you all out there is, what is America's greatest source of strength? What do you think that is exactly? Well, I'm going to tell you just after the pause here, Dr. Stephen LaTulip will join me. We'll talk about our greatest source of strength. A more viewpoint in just a moment. AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Growing up as a young lad, I was a big sports fan, as many young guys are, and I was always fascinated with how a sports team could come to life at the very end of the game. You know, it was always in, like, for instance, the ninth inning with a couple of outs, and then you'd feel the electricity of a team come to life, or in the fourth quarter, you know, of a game when, you know, you've got seconds left on the clock and you can feel the strength and the power of that sports team. Where they put it into overdrive, in other words, and they come back to, in some cases, win the game with seconds left on the clock. That metaphor has always lived with me. I've always thought if we could just package that force, that strength, that overdrive, and treat every day the way that, you know, that those moments are, by golly, we'd be in a lot better shape, wouldn't we, my fellow Americans? And that's the essence of what I want to talk to you about next. The question I posed to you before the pause is America's greatest source of strength. And I ask you, what is it exactly? You know, many people believe with the tipping point we're at that it's a dangerous time in our country. And so let's talk about that next year. I'd like to bring on Dr. Stephen Latula joins me. He's a physician, board-certified family medicine, retired United States Air Force officer, an ordained minister. And his book, Unity Without Compromise, is available in any bookstore and in the America Out Loud bookstore. In fact, you'll find it on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com as you listen to this on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And his show, Unity Without Compromise, at the same name of the, is the book, by the way, plays Saturday and Sunday at noontime. There's an encore at 5 p.m. You can hear that on America Out Loud Talk Radio. So I talked, Dr. Latula, about that force, that energy at the end of a game. And so when I look at America right now and the tipping point we're at, and we look at so many people that seem to be silent, that you reference in an article you have, which is entitled Get Off Your Pedestal and Take a Stand. And of course, you were being a gentleman with that. You could have said that title a whole lot different many ways, I'm sure. Let's speak about that and where we're at that tipping point, Dr. Latula, in the country. And you know, are we kind of in the ninth inning here? Are we? Is that the metaphor we want to use, or am I overstating that?
Malcolm, I don't think you're overstating anything at all. I am actually finding myself feeling the urgency to ramp up that very message, because America is definitely under attack, and the attack is escalating, and it will continue to escalate all the way through, in my opinion, to the 2024 election, because depending on how that turns out, it's going to be the end of the game for one opponent or the other, and I would like us to be the victors. And so I think it's extremely important to emphasize the fact that we had better get off our couch, our sofa, and start acting and start speaking. And speaking our mind, because I truly believe that there are a lot of people, and of course, the people in prominent places often seem to be the most reticent. They just hold back because their reputation is at stake. They don't want it tarnished. And I think that's why there's been so much of a reluctance of people to speak up. On the other hand, what I also see is since the forces attacking us are escalating their gross attack on us in so many ways, they're becoming more forceful, more demanding. The only thing they're not doing yet is inducing us with violence, and that's simply because of the private armed citizen in America. Otherwise, we would be like Australia. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, a lot of people are referencing Australia these days. We see things tipping badly there. And many Australians, in fact, I'll tell you right now, they're reaching to our platform. We get emails in every day from Australia. We get a lot of Australian listeners, by the way. And they reach with, I mean, they pour their hearts out in their responses and comments and questions. And it's a good point you bring up there. Are we headed in that basic direction there? We talk about our source of strength, Dr. Latula. What is America's greatest source of strength?
Well, beyond any doubt at all, and without hesitation, I would say that our greatest source of strength is simply the Bible, which is and always has been the Christian standard in America. It is what our founding fathers of this country used as their inspiration to write the greatest man-made documents that we have ever known. We have the Constitution, which has been the guiding light for the entire world, and we have the Bill of Rights, everything that was used, including the people who were inspired by the Bible, it all comes from the scriptures. And if anybody has any doubt in that, all they have to do is go to Washington, D.C. and look around. There's scripture quotes everywhere. There is a morality that is spoken, and it comes from the Bible. So my absolute message is that we have to return to our roots, which is the Bible standard. That's what makes us righteous people. That's what allows us to be the great America that we have always been, simply because we were good, by God's definition.
Yeah, it's a fight of good and evil. It's a classic fight that is happening right this moment. And we see it. We see what's developing here. You know, the two most important documents I often reference, Dr. Latulip, one is the Bible and the second is our Constitution. If you use those two as a mechanism to steer the ship, well, by golly, the ship will stay pretty well, centered toward the goal here. But we seem to be falling off of both. We have fallen far away from the Bible as a Judeo-Christian nation, and we've fallen far away from the Constitution right now. Hence means that fight of good and evil, as far as I can see, it means right now, and not to be smart guy here, but evil seems to be winning. The scales seem to be tipped slightly that way. Back to the tipping point right now, are we coming to, we've been talking for years now, coming toward this moment. It's a moment of truth. Many people reference it as some sort of a revolutionary war, a civil war, or a spark or a moment. Call it whatever you want. There are many reference points to it. There's still a lot of people in denial, not convinced we're coming to that. And they think America is invincible and that everything is okay. But I think there are plenty of signals that say we're in a heap of trouble. This isn't business as usual, is it?
It definitely is not. And I think that you are right in saying that people in America have enjoyed the luxuries and the goodness of freedom for so long that we have become severely complacent, and we cannot simply fathom, get our heads wrapped around the idea that we could be overthrown and the enemy who is attacking us now, which is domestic, and I'm talking specifically about the Biden puppet regime, they are after us. And we have to see what's happening. They are using medicine as their bioweapon. That includes the ramped up virus with gain of function. It includes the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, as well as all the boosters to come, which will kill more and more people. And then on top of that, we see Fauci now doing gain of function research with Ebola virus. And if he has his way with that, this will be cataclysmic globally. And therefore, I am excited about what I see, which appears to be a global revolution taking place against this. And sadly, a lot of people are actually, and Americans specifically, I hear so often that people say, my goodness, what they are doing, this is insane, this is crazy, this is just stupid. And I take exception to that, because we are very mistaken to call anything crazy when it is actually intelligent and it is a well thought out plan to attack us. We have to call what we are seeing now evil. We have to call it what it is, and we must get to the point where we want to abandon our own personal reputations, our own image in the public's eye, for the sake of saving our country, because we most certainly are at the tipping point.
Yeah, there it is right there. We are center to the fight of that global revolution that Dr. Latulip references. You look at the work of great patriots and people who understand the revolution that is at hand, and they're all over our network and our platform. They're on our talk radio network 24/7, our podcast network, and all over America Out Loud. So, and my friends, most of all, thank you for being with me on the mission here. We'll see you back at America Out Loud. It's time to get involved and get loud.